Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on KVOI for this Friday, March 1st, 2013. Hope you're having a great day and looking forward to a good weekend. I am Bill Buckmaster, and we thank you for choosing the Buckmaster Show. We are live Monday through Friday at noon on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We're streaming our show right now at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And we make the program available on three websites as we post to my website, buckmastershow.com, tucsoncitizen.com, and tucsonsentinel.com. All have the program available. And now we have a link on the homepage of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, that's gvnews.com. Also a link on the homepage for blog for arizona.com. Our Friday Focus interview today, Dr. Andrew Comrie is with me. He was named University of Arizona's second-in-command recently by the UA president, Ann Weaver Hart. Dr. Comrie had been serving as the interim provost since last summer. He is a researcher and climatologist who has been at the University of Arizona for 20 years as a professor and administrator. Previously, he was the UA Graduate College Dean and Associate Vice President for Research. Joining me to question the new provost, Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer for the Arizona Daily Star. And we welcome you to join in the conversation at any time with a question or comment on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. Provost, good to see you. Thanks for being with us.
I'm delighted. Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about how you view your role as provost at the U of A.
Well, you introduced it quite well. In some ways, I'm the number two. In other ways, I'm really partly the inside guy who helps keep the trains running on time, as well as partly being someone who can help the senior leadership and the president strategize about the future of the university.
You're kind of the go-to guy.
Well, I wouldn't say that. There's lots of go-to folks there. But I do help try and coordinate some of that. And, the campus is a big place with a lot of things going on. And trying to coordinate that and facilitate it and then shape who we are. That's part of the exciting aspect of the job.
Here's Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Star.
I know that you come from a science background, and that's your area of research. I'm wondering, now in this position as provost, you have more of a global view of the university, and what are your impressions of maybe some of the parts of the university? I have to say that I teach journalism over there, so I'm not an interested party in this, but I'm just curious, how do you see the sciences, the other fields from your vantage point now?
It's a really good question. And in fact, one of the important things when you take on a central leadership position, and this was true for my last position when I was running the graduate college as well, which really has programs all over campus. And in that job, I actually oversaw some of our interdisciplinary programs also. One has to take an institutional view, which is to say, really, we're one big team, and it's a very big team, as you know, between the students and the employees there. We're up near 50, 55,000 people altogether. This is a small city all of its own. How do we advance all of that together? Well, the answer is, who are we? We're a big university that has a comprehensive coverage, has high degree of excellence across many, many fields. In fact, I would argue, part of our strength is that we're able to articulate those fields with one another, what we on campus would call interdisciplinary work, but is really, for everybody else, a sense of collaboration across the institution that helps avoid us end up in silos and not talking to one another. So one of my roles really is to make sure that we do as much of that as possible.
790-2040, 790-2040, if you have a question or comment for Dr. Andrew Comrie, the new provost at the University of Arizona. Sarah, did you have a follow-up question?
Well, I just wanted to touch on the interdisciplinary aspect. I know professionally in a lot of fields there's a lot more cross-pollination, people needing more than just one skill or one set of skills. And is that something that you see kind of pervading through the university as we move forward, a lot of more interdisciplinary majors or programs?
Yes, is the short answer to that. I think you hit on a real chord, which is in today's marketplace, as we train students and try to educate them broadly for their careers, they also need particular kinds of experiences and training that allow them to pull their different sets of expertises and interests together. So even in classic majors that we would know about, journalism is actually a very good example, where absolutely you have to learn about the theory of what it is you're doing. It's increasingly important to also have expertise in a number of different areas that you can really draw on to ask deeper questions, for example. That principle applies whether you're a neuroscientist, whether you're a sociologist, whether you're an agricultural researcher. The interesting questions are always at the boundaries, and the interesting solutions are about bringing people at those boundaries together. And so, in fact, part of what we're trying to do as we shape the educational experience at the university is to make sure not just our professional and graduate students get that experience, but also, frankly, more and more our undergraduates as well.
How about the sequestration, which kicks in at midnight tonight? And what will the impact be on the University of Arizona?
You know, the University of Arizona is, of course, an important research university. We end up spending over $600 million a year in the local and regional economy through research grants that get awarded to the university from the federal government, from industry, and so forth. And the federal portion of that number is over, well over half. And so clearly any cuts there are going to have an impact not just on the university, but frankly on our community as the ripple effects make their way through. We're still not entirely sure, because many of the federal agencies aren't sure exactly what some of those implications will be. But it's very clear that they're being cautious with how they spend their money, letting it out slower, and of course that there are going to be some real cuts. The challenge there is that when you build up human capital to do, for example, focused research, it's easy to undo a lot of progress overnight, when in fact it'd be much easier to sort of plan this in a smoother, more selected way and make staged cuts. So one of the challenges here is trying to deal with the abruptness of these things.
Here's Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Star.
I know Dr. Hart has been in office a relatively short time, but I also know that Dr. Shelton, the previous president, went through a whole long, you're probably very involved in that through your role there, kind of reorganizing, cutting budgets, what do we do, who are we, those sort of metaphysical questions universities like to ask themselves. So is that process going to continue? Is it a reset button? What happens now?
We're in the middle of a major strategic planning process that President Hart initiated, and I'm actually one of the co-chairs of that process. And it's not just universities, but in fact, any organization at all, whether this is a small company or a large multinational or a large nonprofit, which is really what we are at some level, has to have a very clear set of goals, has to have some missions that it knows it has to execute on, and it has to know what its vision is to do that. It's really, in short, a strategy. We're in the process of doing that on campus and trying to figure out what is the best way for us to serve all of our constituencies and to really be as successful as we possibly can. So we're developing a strategic plan for the university that does that, and it has three main components, as you might imagine, which address really our three main areas: educating students in ways that are as distinctive and as high quality and shape and attract the best kind of students to the U of A and make the best students for Arizona. Of course, in our research mission, we have to be very innovative there. And then increasingly, we want to examine really how tightly we partner with all aspects of our community, both local and national.
We have to figure out a way, though, to keep more of our graduates in Tucson and in Arizona.
There's a really good way to do that, and it helps everybody. If we are able to train what we commonly call a high-tech, high-wage workforce, which is not just scientists and the STEM fields, as we call them, engineering and medicine and so forth, it's in fact cuts across every kind of career. But if we're able to train people who are highly qualified, and at the same time that workforce is an attractor for other businesses, then the tide rises for all boats in the region. And so that's an important role we have, providing some of that fuel for the regional economic engine.
Coming up now on 12:14 on the Buckmaster Show, we're going to take a break. This is our Friday Focus interview. Dr. Andrew Comrie is with us. He is the new provost at the University of Arizona. We'll be back after we hear from some of the people who believe in this program, and we hope that you will support them as well. Stay with us.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439. Biosphere 1 is the world we live in. Biosphere 2 is an amazing reflection of Biosphere 1, a UA Science Innovation Center transforming, not conforming. Making ideas happen, like the massive new mountain slopes of the LEO project, which is reinventing Biosphere 2 into a remarkable enterprise for 21st century discovery and imagination. The impossible is possible. Biosphere 2 embraces the complexity about the future of the planet, developing and testing sustainability strategies essential for a better life. Become part of this center that is becoming the incredible new UA Biosphere 2. See why Time Life Books named it one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2, an inspiring adventure for visitors with guided behind-the-scene tours. Open daily, north of Tucson, America's Science City.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Since 2006, the RTA has completed more than 500 projects, including 180 miles of bikeways and more than 50 bus pullouts. Current projects include La Cañada from Ina to River and the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars have created more than 2,500 road construction jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA is delivering our promise to you.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Coming up on 12:19, it's Friday Focus on the Buckmaster Show on KVOI, AM 1030. Dr. Andrew Comrie is the provost, newly named official provost at the University of Arizona. Sarah Garrett Gasson is here from the Arizona Daily Star. And let's go now to the Buckmaster Show live line. Charles, you're up next. Go ahead.
Thanks, Dr. Comrie. Thanks for coming on Bill's show. There seems to be a sort of direct relationship between people who greatly appreciate the environment and a huge distrust for the human nature of profit. What, if anything, could the university do based on what you said about attracting people having the right kind of people graduate and attracting that same type of business where they could work. What, if anything, can the university do to teach courses to people who become employees of the city of Tucson and the county of Pima to sort of deprogram them from the cult of hatred of the profit, but that may be too strong, from the cult of animosity towards the profit motive? And I'll listen to your answer on the air.
Great. Thanks, Charles. That's an excellent question. So actually, as you were saying, I mean, you're making the contrast stronger than it perhaps is in real life, but there are some natural differences of opinion sometimes between different groups that get painted in extreme ways. In the real world, I work with a lot of environmental scientists. In fact, it's my own background. And I would say there's a deep recognition that the solutions lie in collaboration. And in fact, that's the sort of thing that we educate our students on all the time. The nature of how you educate people about the environment is not that, you know, everything is bad or all business is bad. On the contrary, the way we get solutions is by working with people. And there are a number of programs on campus arrayed around various kinds of environmental science, around sustainability and so forth, that really get at understanding how best to do that. The key to your answer is it's actually not easy. And so we need multiple answers for doing that, whether it's from different parts of campus, such as law or engineering or the sciences. And we try to train people in all of those fields as to what the key elements are. So great question, though. And I think the solution is in having folks who both know their stuff technically and can help implement real solutions in the real world.
How is the tuition battle going for those that are hoping tuition will not be going up again?
Tuition's an interesting question. So always a concern of everyone in the state. In fact, we're in the middle of preparing our tuition estimates right now to submit to the Board of Regents in the state. Here's the challenge. We have a number of fixed costs of the university that go up, whether it's the cost of electricity or the cost of benefits for employees, the sort of same things any other concern has, and yet a very real sense that the people of Arizona pay their hard-earned money to send their sons and daughters to the University of Arizona, and we have to do everything we can to minimize the impact there and yet create a really quality experience for those students. So one of the most difficult things we do is to try to balance all of that while making sure we keep a strong university that provides the best possible education we can for the contribution the parents can make. Of course, we do this in the context of great external challenges, which is less support from the state, which has had a very tough time in the recent budget experiences the last few years. And at the same time, try to grow the pie. We can partner with new kinds of partners to help add to our bottom line and help keep tuition as low as we possibly can. I would add, we're still in quite good shape when we compare our tuition across the country. For who we are, we're still just an outstanding value, and many other third parties have recognized that.
And a lot of out-of-state students like to come here because for many places in the country, U of A is very cheap.
Well, we like to say value rather than cheap.
Not cheap,
but
value.
We're a good deal, and I think it's true. In fact, you'll find many local Arizonans sending their kids here, even if they could send them elsewhere, because we're just a good deal, and you get an education here that at a world-class university that's every bit as good as some of the other so-called name-brand universities out there.
Yeah, wrong choice of word. Bargain would be better. How's that? Okay. Here's Sarah Garrett Gaston of the Star.
I wanted to ask about all these giant student housing complexes that are going up around campus directly. There's even one at 22nd and Euclid. I know that you're not in the student housing wing of things, but you are, you know, obviously with the university. And how do you handle it when neighbors get upset, and totally understandably, and they come to the university and say, well, what the heck are you going to do about these marauding drunk college students?
And the wild parties,
yeah.
Perhaps.
That's a great question. And in fact, the student housing does report to me up through student affairs, so I've become a little familiar with this in the last few months. So here's the challenge. We have some very exciting developments near the university. One, of course, would be the streetcar. And that comes with it something we've always wanted in Tucson, which is mixed-use development and high-density, less traffic. And that means having more people compacted in one area. So there's something called an overlay district. It's a planning area that surrounds the streetcar area by several blocks all the way along its route. And that means that developers can come in and, as they should, come up with business ideas, which includes apartments, but also other kinds of businesses. That increases the density of people along the line. That is, in fact, part of the intent, and it, of course, stimulates business. Yet, of course, there are established neighborhoods around there that are very worried about the mix of people this brings in. Then you see large complexes going up, such as the ones Sarah mentioned, and people get very worried. In fact, some folks think that's university construction, when in fact it's a private deal. So let me give you, this is a little longer answer than you might have wanted, but it's actually an interesting case of how we're able to work together with the community. When some of these things first went up, the university was not especially involved, but we've become very involved in recent times in working with the city, in working with some of the developers, so that as there is build-out over the next several years, what you'll find is that those developments will blend into the neighborhoods much better, and yet still through things like buildings being stepped down in height around them, for example. And just like campus, it doesn't appear too tall from the edge, but as you get in the middle, it gets taller, and you can do similar things along those lines. Now, we do, in fact, collaborate with some of these developments. We don't put a big block A on the outside. It's not our building. But some of them, such as the ones at the bottom of 6th near the mm-hmm. entrance to downtown, have talked to us about what are the best practices for how you arrange things, how many students do you put together, how do you arrange for transportation, all the things that become a real challenge. And I'm happy to say we have some excellent collaborations now with different groups in the area that have developed just in the last year or two. And it's very encouraging that we'll, in fact, be able to do this in a way that blends us into the areas around us with as positive an impact as we can possibly create.
Sarah's paper, The Star, had a major piece last Sunday about the University of Arizona pushing for a veterinary school here in Arizona. Right now, folks that want to become vets have to go out of state. This comes at a time when the National Research Council report was issued concluding there's no national shortage of vets. So is that going to make it harder to sell this to the border regions?
That's an excellent question. So we're very excited about this vet school. In fact, we're not calling it a vet school because it's very different to an average veterinary school. Our new Dean of Agriculture and Life Sciences, Shane Burgess, actually got his training overseas. He grew up in New Zealand and Australia. And he has seen a model there for veterinary schools that is very collaborative with local veterinarians, so that we don't build a vet hospital and put them all out of business. In fact, we collaborate with them and we use their spaces. Now, I have to make one distinction. We have lots of vets who serve Fluffy and Fido. This is not about, we'll certainly train some vets to do that. There, in fact, are a number of vets who do that out there, and that's really the national supply issue. But we have an undersupply of vets who do large animal work. Arizona is a major cattle-growing state, as you know, and who do meat safety, all those sorts of things that are more invisible jobs that veterinarians fill. And there's a big demand out there for those. And in fact, our Cattle Growers Association, I think in Arizona, have been a pretty big supporters of trying to build a program like this. So I think the article actually quoted a number of supporters, not only in the regions, but in the legislature, who are interested in looking at this. And we're looking for some support to see if we can plan this out and see if, in fact, it would be viable.
So for larger animals, equine, the horses?
Horses, cattle. Yeah. Not so much companion animals and pets.
All right, coming up now on 12:28, Sarah Garrett Gasson, there's time for about one question.
Well, a lot of people are wondering, when we have tuition going up for students over the past several years, why do university administrators and particularly sports coaches get paid so much?
Well, here's where I give my market analogy, which is everyone gets paid, according to the market they're in. I have assistant professors I hire in the medical school who make more than some of the most senior administrators on campus. In fact, the president or the provost are not the biggest earners on campus, even if you exclude the sports team. Business school people in the medical school, those folks have outside markets that they're in. And for us, they get the very best quality. In short, you get what you pay for. And if you want to hire the best talent, then you have to compete with the market that those best people could otherwise be participating in. So what we do is we try to be as reasonable as possible as we can in that, and then get the very best talent. I would say that if you look across the university, our salary profiles, no matter how you divide it, whether it's the faculty, the staff, or the administrators, are all running something like about 20% below national averages. And so we're still, to use Bill's earlier point, we're still a great value even there as an institution.
About 1 minute to go here on the Buckmaster Show Friday Focus with Dr. Andrew Comrie, the new provost. So, and going back to the sports, a lot of that money is not state money that goes to the coaches. That's privately funded.
In fact, we're very proud of our athletics department in that they're basically self-sufficient. There are not that many universities across the country that can make that claim. And the operation in athletics over here, because we're very lucky to that they've built some successful teams. The two visible teams, of course, the basketball and football teams, help support umpteen other programs that we have, somewhere between 15 and 20, I believe. And so what we do is provide opportunity for a lot of students through that. And in fact, they basically float their own boat. And that's a very encouraging place to be as an institution.
Dr. Comrie, thank you very much for being with us. Good luck to you as provost.
Thank you.
And Sarah will be sticking around, and Linda Valdez joins us from the Arizona Republic for the Buckmaster Show Friday Reporters Roundtable. That's next.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Obama blamed GOP lawmakers for failing to stop automatic spending cuts from starting to kick in later today. Republicans say it's the president's fault for his insistence on raising taxes. New estimate released today says a stingier definition of inflation could cut the deficit by some $340 million over the coming decade. Even with tax hikes and rising gas prices, Americans continued to buy cars last month. GM, Ford, and other automakers posting strong sales gains. Chrysler and Volkswagen also report sales increases. On Wall Street, the key averages are higher. The Dow's up about 21 points. The NASDAQ ahead 7. The S&P trading 2 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's vscot.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Westin La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million resort rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and soon a new pool area and enhanced fine dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Music.
The Rug Gallery is celebrating its 25th anniversary jubilee celebration with a colossal tent sale, offering up to 75% off at La Encantada Shopping Center at Campbell and Skyline in Tucson. With over 2,000 hand-woven imported rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. With an international reputation, the Rug Gallery has graced the cover of Christie's magazine and is featured in many other high-end publications. Stop by and check out the Rug Gallery with Arizona's largest in-stock inventory of fine, high-quality, hand-woven, imported rugs during the colossal tent sale with up to 75% off at Tucson's La Encantada Shopping Center in the foothills of the Catalinas. Or visit the Rug Gallery online at ruggalleryaz.com/sale or call 571-RUGS. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. .12:35 on the Buckmaster Show. Welcome back. We are on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice, and it's time for our Friday Reporters Roundtable. Today, we have Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer for the Arizona Daily Star, and Linda Valdez, editorial writer for the Arizona Republic. If at any point during our conversation with Sarah and Linda, you would like to join in, perhaps with a question or comment, 790-2040, 790-2040. Linda, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill.
And I've already welcomed Sarah. Thank you for your participation in the interview with the new provost.
Yes, thank you for allowing me to stay for the second half.
You've been a good participant, so you get to stay for the second half. The sequestration, let's begin with that. Linda, you heard part of our interview there with the new provost. It will impact, if it lingers on, the University of Arizona.
Well, it will impact just about everything, universities, elementary schools, high schools. It'll impact the defense industry. I mean, it's a 5% across the board cut. And
air traffic controllers, longer lines.
Longer lines at the border, which is going to hurt retail stores, because if people aren't as willing to wait to come across, they're going to lose that business. It could potentially have huge impacts.
Sarah, your column, you do a weekly column now every Thursday. That was interesting. The sequestration is going to hurt no matter what the seed eaters say. And you have to read the column to figure out about the seed eaters.
Yes, you do. It's the short version is, it was a reference to this kid I went to preschool with named Todd, who tried
still
to
remember him, huh?
Oh, he left an impression. Who announced to the class he was going to eat grass seeds so grass could grow in his tummy. And I said, no, grass cannot grow in your tummy. And we got into this back and forth discussion, and he just refused to believe that he was wrong. And he is wrong, and maybe he still believes that today. I don't know. But my point was that there are sometimes you get in a situation where people just believe what they want to believe, and they believe that the sequester is ultimately a good idea, that we should all have our medicine and cut spending, and that it won't have bad effects. But I just don't understand how you can take that much money out of the economy, people losing their jobs, government contractors cutting back, and have it not have a bad ripple effect.
Well, that's a great analogy, and it's a great analogy on another level, too, because there's this sense of denial, particularly among the Republicans in Congress, who just keep blocking everything, and we've come to the point of government by brinksmanship. people have gotten so used to it, some people aren't even paying attention this time around. You know, there was the debt ceiling.
It's becoming like the new norm, isn't
it? Exactly, and that's.
I really hate to see this.
I agree.
I really do. I just wish that the folks back there, and I'm talking about leadership really in both parties, can just sit down and get this done. I guess bipartisanship is just long gone.
Well, I'm not sure that anybody wants to get to accomplish anything aside from laying blame on the other guy. That seems to be what this is all about.
And it's also important to note, I think, that it's not like this isn't Y2K where we worried, and then nothing happened. But conversely, it's not going to be we wake up on Saturday and the world has ended. It's going to be filtering out in different ways. It's going to hit some people immediately. We'll see other effects. And there's, you know, in some analysis, some people won't be directly affected in direct ways much at all. So it's tempting to say, oh, well, it, the world didn't end, so nothing bad is happening. But we have to look deeper than that and use our ability to see how things will play out and projections, not just what's in it for me today.
Let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. Dan is ready with a comment. Go ahead, Dan.
Question is, I think you mentioned a 5% decrease. I've heard other figures at 2%. I've also heard that actually it's not an actual decrease. I've heard that automatically Congress adjusts their budget up by a certain percentage. I don't know, 4 or 5, maybe it's an inflation factor. But I think one of the problems we have trouble getting together is the basic facts are not out there. I think for their maybe own purposes, they try to hide it. So my question to you is this cut, the percentage, I'd like a real clear definition. Is it a cut of the increase, or is it just say this year's current budget, the hard numbers, and it's a 5% decrease? Can somebody give me a definition?
Well, I can tell you that between now and September 1st, which is the end of the fiscal year, for the federal fiscal year, they have to get $85 billion out of the budget. So that is immediate. The other, it's over a span of, I think,
9 years.
9 years.
$1.2 trillion.
Right. And so, yes, this money it's not like coming and being vacuumed out of your bank account, but it's the kind of thing where money not that's planned to be spent that's not spent is money that is lost. It's income. And the $85 billion between now and September 1st is a lot of money.
Let's go back to the Buckmaster Show live line. Jim has a comment about Sarah's piece in the Arizona Daily Star. Go ahead, Jim.
Well, I don't think it's any secret that I'm disappointed in Sarah talking the talking point to the White House. But the reality of it is it's just a stop in the growth. It's a cut in the growth of the budget. And, you know, it's disingenuous to say anything but that. And that's not money that has to be spent. And the go-along to get-along, everybody says, oh, we all need to get along. Well, go-along to get-along is what brought us to $16.1 trillion in debt. And that's just, somebody has got to step into the breach and say no. And thank God for guys like Jeff Flake and Senator McCain and our congressional delegation up north, our southern delegation, of course, wants to spend more money.
Okay.
So it's disingenuous. It's a stop of growth. It's not a cutting of essential services today. And it's not even a cut of essential services in September. It's a cut in the growth.
But if there are government contractors, for example, that aren't receiving business or aren't receiving, you know, they're being slowed down, they're being told hold off on that. That is
it's happening
a cut.
Already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and for the defense contractors,
and
slowing down. That is happening.
And another way to think of it, and maybe this is not the perfect analogy, but if you are at your job and you go for 5 years with no raise. The amount of money in your paycheck is the same as it was 5 years ago, but it doesn't buy what it used to buy because everything else keeps increasing. So it's not true that these are not actual cuts that are going to be affecting people's lives. But thank you for reading.
Thanks, Jim, for the call. Linda, final comment on sequestration before we move on, or should we move on?
We may as well move on, since that's what Congress and the White House are doing. I mean, I don't know that they're going to come to an agreement on this. The problem is that what has to be done is looking at some of the tough stuff, looking at some of the entitlements, Social Security and Medicaid and those issues. And Congress doesn't want to do that. The White House doesn't want to do that. And they have two very different philosophical views on how to solve problems. The Republicans want to cut, and the White House wants to raise taxes on the wealthy. It's hard to come together on that. So I don't know. I think there'll be a lot more brinksmanship before we come to any kind of agreement, if we ever do.
Coming up on 12:45. There was an interesting piece in the it was carried in the Star from the LA Times about Governor Brewer's future. And I think the headline of the piece, Brewer's more measured tone leaves Arizonans and other guessing.
Well, she's someone who every time she makes a move, it creates, you know, questions. Is she eyeing a political future on a more national level? Is she trying to raise her profile?
Is she going to run again? Or
right.
Can she even run again?
Well,
to be determined.
That is a very good question. She says yes. Ken Bennett, the Secretary of State, who would also like to be governor, says no. So we'll see how that turns out. But Governor Brewer I have to give her credit that she keeps people guessing, because she's not someone who is predictable.
And this, Linda, this Medicare expansion that the governor talked about in her state of the state, it's running into all sorts of opposition in the legislature.
Well, the legislature, it's going to be a hard sell at the legislature, but she's got business behind her. She's got the hospitals behind her. And actually, as far as that article is concerned, that was I kept reading that article for this leftward slant that they were talking about. I mean, it's flattering to have the big city papers pay attention to us, but really, I thought it was a pretty thin story. The only thing they cited, really, was the Medicare expansion. And we've got 8 Republican governors coming over. The money that will come into the states as a result of that is hugely tempting. That's why they're doing it. And so I think she's going to try real hard to sell that to the legislature. It's going to be a hard sell, and I think in order to accomplish that, they're going to have to work with some of the moderate Republicans and the Democrats to make that happen.
And I think it's the kind of thing where, like with the immigration push we had a couple years ago, where there was that bad legislation, finally the business organizations and individuals got together and said, look, this is enough. And hopefully that those same folks will get together and support what Brewer's doing with this Medicaid expansion, because it is the right thing to do.
Linda, you've covered the legislature, been around a long time. We're kind of at the midway point with this legislature. How would you characterize the direction it's moving so far?
I'd say it's a more moderate legislature. They're certainly more responsive to the business voices. Some of the really crazy stuff got buried, although they're still trying to get guns in schools. But you know, some of the worst immigration
and
stuff got
making
buried.
Making gold and silver legal tender in Arizona.
Well, there's okay. You know, you're always going to have some of that. But we did have a case earlier this week, or last week, where 3 Republicans crossed the aisle and joined with Democrats to vote down a Republican bill. Then they
that
turned
hadn't
around.
Happened in a long time.
Well, it hadn't, and I mean, it would, of course, ironically, they turned around later and changed their vote, and the bill passed. It was a bad bill, but the point, it was kind of a demonstration, a show of force. It only takes 3 Republicans to join with the Democrats and make a difference. So, I think it will be a much more moderate session than we've seen in the past, but there remain some very extremist voices up there.
I agree. I think the one thing that has been, I think, hopeful is that we have some local folks like Victoria Steele and Ethan Orr who are doing not super flashy work necessarily, but like with mental health first aid funding, mm-hmm. Getting that is, I think, mm-hmm. passed through the appropriations with a reduced amount, $250,000, if I'm remembering correctly. But those sort of actual tangible, we can make a difference in this way, let's get this done sort of thing. And that's encouraging to me.
TUSD cutting central office staff. That kind of jumped out at me when I saw that.
Yeah.
I think it did for a lot of people.
Yes. Although with TUSD, you have to kind of take the long view, like climate change. And because there are...
Like reading the tree rings.
Yes, reading the tree rings. I went to a presentation about that, and it was fascinating. And TUSD's history goes back almost as far as the tree rings can tell us. But the... TUSD goes through phases where they cut central administration. People always say, cut central administration, it's too big. But, you know, there are things that need to get done in a giant organization like that. So they go through these phases where they cut out kind of mid-level, and then they add them back, and then they cut them, and then they add them back. But it's the one difference is that I think it might have more of a public kind of push behind it. And the economic realities, they have to find the money.
Richard, I think we can squeeze you in here. We've got about 35 seconds. Quick comment, Richard.
Okay, Bill, right now our budget is $3.6 trillion. That's more than doubled in the last 5 years. Our baselines on all the agencies have been raised enormously. 3 out of the top 10 richest counties in America surround Washington, D.C. The average income of Washington, D.C. just passed Silicon Valley as the richest place in America.
We should move there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's a black hole.
Yeah.
And all these people are so invested in it, and all they're doing is crime, bloody murder. You know, when you take the drugs away from an addict, he kicks and screams and fights for a while.
Okay.
But we need to make the cuts.
All right, Richard, I'm glad you had your voice heard here on The Buckmaster Show on our Friday Roundtable. That's going to do it. Out of time, Linda Valdez. Have a great weekend.
You do the same.
And you too, Sarah Garrett-Gasson. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Bill Buckmaster.
Thanks a lot. The Weekend Watch with Matt Russell's coming up next.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1-, 2-, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you, completing more than 500 projects and creating more than 2,500 jobs since its inception in 2006. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and Grant Road at Oracle. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Karen, could you run to the supply closet for some trophy polish, please?
Do we have trophy polish?
Well, we better find out. See, I just called Cox Business to give our company faster internet and great phone service.
Oh, good.
They've got a J.D. Power and Associates Award, Karen, and they're going to be here any minute.
So you think they bring the award with them wherever they go?
Put it this way. If you were ranked highest in customer satisfaction, wouldn't you?
Maybe.
I just want to be prepared, Karen. I just want to be prepared.
Shine up your business with Cox Business. Ranked highest in customer satisfaction among data service providers for small and mid-sized businesses. Power your office in Phoenix with Cox Business and take advantage of our special offer. Bundle Cox Business internet and phone for only $95 per month. Switch to Cox Business today. It just makes sense. Visit coxbusiness.com for offer details. Offer valid until April 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Other restrictions apply. For J.D. Power and Associates award information, go to jdpower.com.
That music signals the official start of the weekend. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, brought to you by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. Looking for a great weekend getaway? Hey, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson to historic Silver City and their vibrant arts community, one of America's top 100 arts communities. Lots of wonderful places to stay, including Little Toad Creek Inn, Faywood Hot Springs Resort, and Manzano's RV Park. Find out more at southwestnewmexico.org. And here he is, Matt Russell, award-winning Tucson publicist and Inside Tucson business, food and beverage columnist. Matt, how are you today?
Doing great. I mean, come on, Bill. Snow on the ground a week ago today, and now we're going to be flirting with 80. I love Tucson.
Yeah, you can't beat the weather, can you? And that column today in Inside Tucson Business, what's your column? No bread burgers and no pasta lasagna. How do you do lasagna without pasta?
Yeah, there are some people in the culinary community here, Bill, that are taking some serious risks in the kitchen, but it all pays off. You got to read my column today.
All right, let's go to an art show. And when you go to an art show, it's always nice to have a little of the vino and some fine cheese to taste.
Absolutely, and it's all happening today. My good friend John Rogers from Wines Without the Mystery is going to be doing a wine tasting from 5 to 7 p.m. at the Sanders Galleries over there on Skyline and Campbell, and he's going to be pouring about 7 wines that will be paired with artisan cheeses, and you're going to be experiencing all these wonderful works of art at the gallery. You're going to learn about wines you've never had before, and learn about how each matches with these great cheeses. And it's all presented by one of the most credentialed authorities in the world of wine right here in Tucson. This is my kind of happy hour today.
Yeah, it'd be hard to teach a new wine to you, Matt Russell. find a new one. Another new restaurant opening in Tucson. This is getting to be unbelievable.
We're announcing them every week, it seems, on the Weekend Watch. The new kid this week is Falora Pizza and Espresso, and it opens, Bill, on Sunday at Broadway Village, 3000 East Broadway. Now, I hear that Falora has imported an authentic wood-burning pizza oven all the way from Italy, and it's going to be kicking out a range of craft pizzas, including one that I like, something with eggplant, feta cheese, and truffle oil on a pizza, Bill Buckmaster.
My goodness. You talked about wine a few moments ago. What about the folks that love the beer?
Yeah, absolutely. Over at Barrio Brewing Company on Sunday, starting at 11 o'clock, it's the Tales and Ales, and it benefits the Humane Society for only $12. You're going to give your pooch a wash and a rinse and get hefty discounts on Barrio's delicious food and locally crafted beers, and there's live music, and they're even going to let you take home a commemorative pint glass, all for a great cause and for getting Fido all scrubbed up. Tales and Ales is this Sunday at Barrio Brewing Company.
And we want to do a quick shout-out to the Pima Council on Aging, Matt. Their Ages and Stages Expo is today and tomorrow at the TCC KVOI, one of the sponsors. That's 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. KVOI will be out there. So they've got a lot of great activities down at the TCC for the weekend.
wonderful organization, the Pima Council. Just had lunch with the executive director. What a great leader in this community. He's an absolute great American.
All right, Matt Russell, always a pleasure. Have fun this weekend.
Cheers, Bill. Thanks.
And as if there isn't enough to do this weekend, right here live on KVOI at 8 o'clock tomorrow night, The Two Jewish with Rabbi Sam Cohen and friends. It's a live radio variety show tomorrow night right here on KVOI that will be broadcast live from the Fox Theater. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show provided by Culligan, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. We serve Culligan water to all of our in-studio guests. They enjoy it, and why wouldn't they? Culligan, it simply tastes better. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of our team, my producer, the lovely and talented Rosemary Brandt, I'm Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend and reminding you to listen to the John C. Scott Show this afternoon from 3 to 5 here on KVOI, and then Monday morning, Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe, and our favorite gardener, Phil Cedar. Phil will talk about, is it time to do the pruning this weekend in your garden? That's his Desert Garden Show tomorrow morning, 7 to 8, here on KVOI. Have a great weekend.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.